God, through the person of the Lord Jesus, God's Son, and ask for His help. You know, it's a privilege when we pray to God. We can come before His throne. You notice I prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. We have access to the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that in this book. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And He is the one that I desire to present to you tonight. But I want to say something about me first. I don't want you to look at me. I want you to realize that I am no better than you. I am a sinner through and through. There's many of you that know me, and you would say it's true. I'm telling you it's true. There was a time in my life when I got down before a holy God, and I owned that although I have sinned, I need Him to take my sins away. And Jesus Christ is the only one in this universe who can save a person from their sins. I often speak to older folks at a retirement home. Many times I repeat a little example, a little story of what most of the older women who are there can understand and take in. And I remind them of the times when they were at their kitchen sinks cleaning dishes. What did they need to clean dishes? They needed to have dish soap, dishwasher detergent. They needed whatever chemical was necessary to remove the stains on the dishes. Perhaps it was the clothes they were washing. But you know, there's only one cleaner in all the world for your sins. There's only one. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. It tells us in the Word of God, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us, or cleans us from all sin. I like that. I love that. As a sinner, I had no hope of ever going into the presence of a holy God until I had those sins washed away. As a sinner, I took my place before God as undeserving of His favor, of His love. I sinned. I was far from Him. What about you? Have you ever realized that before God, you are a sinner too? I started with me because it's true of me. But it's true of each person here tonight. We've all sinned. We have a problem. We have a need before God. We're in our sins. This was announced as a gospel meeting. Gospel means good news. The good news is that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die here. He died, He shed His precious blood on a cross 2,000 years ago nearly. And God can righteously forgive sinners their sins. If they accept that when Jesus died on the cross, He died for them and took their place when He was punished there by God. And you say, this is a lot of material for me. This is something that I haven't thought about before. I don't know much about it. My desire tonight is to give you interest, to make you want to find out if what I'm saying is true. And I would like you to read this book. This book is the only book that I know of in the whole world that claims to be the living, eternal Word of God. And it is the book that people are afraid of in this world. You know, I used to work at a place where there was prosperity. People didn't think much about God. Material things is what they wanted. God was left out. Isn't that true in this world we live in, North America? What about you? Are you content with all that you have from a giving God? You're happy with your cottage, your boat, the meals you have, all from God. Where I used to work, there were some very intelligent people. And you know, there were some people that were authorities on this book. At least they claimed to be. There were a number of times when one in particular would talk about the Bible and how it said this and this and this and that. And then he would turn to me and he said, "That's right, isn't it, Paul?" And I would say, "No, that's not right." And you know, the others would stand around and jeer at him and laugh at him. But they didn't know either. Because they'd never read it. The only book that claims to be God's Word and you've never read it? Perhaps you've read it many times. And praise God. Thank you. I love this book. This book has introduced me to the Son of God and told me my need, but gave me the remedy for my need. You know, God is so good. You know, which one of us, we start thinking about all the things He's given us. The very health and strength we have to be here. That we can walk and enjoy nature. All the things that God has given us. But God has given everything. Never mind all the things we see and touch and feel and smell. But He gave His Son. I have four boys. God has been good to me. Do you have children? God has been good to you. They came from Him. Each one is a miracle. God gave His Son to die. Now you say, "Paul, would you give any of your sons if you knew that people like me were going to take him and kill him?" No way. But God did that. God gave His Son, knowing what people like me would do to His Son. 2,000 years ago, the Bible is very clear that Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world. He lived here as a man, and you can read the stories, the miracles that He did, how He walked here, how He was thirsty. He knew what it was to be alone. He knew what it was to be disappointed. There was a time when some evil people were seeking to take His life, to crucify Him. He says, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." That's the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, speaking. At the beginning of these meetings, there was a brother who mentioned a story from the Word of God that I would like to spend a little bit of time reading tonight. My purpose is to read a few verses and seek humbly to tell you what I've learned from them, and to seek to have you desire to know more. And if you realize that you have sinned, my desire is that you would be like one of the two men we're going to read about. And you would turn to Jesus in all your need. And you would turn to Him and find in Him a Savior tonight. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 23. Perhaps there's someone here tonight, or others, more than one, and you don't know very much about the Bible. So I'm going to give a little background. The Bible is composed of two main parts. There's an Old Testament, and then there's what we call a New Testament. The Old Testament was written thousands of years ago and gives us the account from God as to how this world came into existence, and about our first father, Adam. And down through time, to God's chosen people, the children of Israel. It ends with the book of Malachi, and then there's 400 silent years until the beginning of the New Testament, when we have four books. We have the book according to Matthew, the book according to Mark, the book according to Luke, and the book according to John. Each one presents Jesus Christ, my Savior, in a little different way, but each of them give an account of how He lived here as a man. Each one speaks about His miracles and of the sayings that He had. And then each one gives an account from a slightly different perspective, giving a slightly different number of facts that are not competitive, but they all fit together. And so this book of Luke was written actually by a doctor, a physician. And this doctor was used by God to pen many stories of the Lord Jesus in His life here. And he's presented in this gospel as God the Son, but also as a man, a real man. And at the end of each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of the writers, as directed by God the Holy Spirit, gives an account of the death of the Son of God. The death of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I read these verses in Luke, I want you to remember that what went before in this book is a lot of stories about Jesus. How kind He was, how loving He was, how He fed thousands of people, how He healed people that were lame. And in fact, Jesus also was able to make blind people be able to see. No one else has ever been able to do that or did it before Him. That was reserved for the one who was the Son of God, a sure proof. And Jesus healed the blind. But Jesus was not popular. You say, well, how could a man who fed thousands of people and healed people with infirmities and sicknesses and blind people Why wasn't he popular? Let me ask you this question. Is Jesus Christ popular tonight? Is he? Is Jesus Christ popular tonight? I would say he is not in this world. When I was in school, in university, I went to a school in Canada which is open to a lot of people from all over the world. And in the classes that I was in, there were a lot of foreigners. And a lot of them became my friends. They were smart. But you know, it didn't matter whether they came from Indonesia or India or Africa or South America or the United States or Canada. It didn't matter. When they got angry, they used one name. One name. And that's the name of the man who died for me. The one I love. The name of Jesus. Why? Why? You know why? Because Jesus is real. And he's the Son of God. That's why. I asked one of them once. I said to him, I have a question for you. I'm a Christian, and you just got angry, and you used the name of my Savior as a curse. Why did you do that? He said, I don't know. I said, well, why did you not use the name of Muhammad? Oh, I wouldn't do that. But why would he use the name of Jesus? Jesus is despised today too. He's despised and rejected of men. But you know what? He's the Savior. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that don't make sense. And that's one of them. The Son of God who came to die for sinners like me is despised and rejected. How is it with you? Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Tonight you have an opportunity to do so. God wants you to accept His Son as your Savior. Why would He want you to do that? Because God loves you. That's why He made you. He wants a relationship with you. Not just here in this world. He wants to love you for all eternity. That's why. So He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you. To give His life for you, to take your place. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, He died for sinners. But there's so many people that say, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not a sinner. I'm pretty good. Is there somebody like that here tonight? So this book of Luke presents the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. But it also presents to our hearts what happened on that day 2,000 years ago. When people who despised and rejected Him then took Him to the Roman governor and said, we will not have this man. We don't want him. The Jewish people at the time, they said, his blood be on us and on our children. That's what they said. And you say, yeah, the Jewish people have had a lot of trouble. Yeah. But think what they said. His blood be on us and on our children. Solemn. They rejected the Savior that day. The Roman governor, three times he said, I find no fault in this man. But he said, I'll chastise him and let him go. Now, if he found no fault in him, why would he chastise him? You know, he didn't love Jesus either. So the religious leaders didn't love him. The political people didn't love him. Let's read a few verses from 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse 21, they cried saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Verse 24, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Now we'll read verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. This perhaps will be all we have time to read from the Holy Scriptures. I spoke at the beginning about two men that we were going to talk about tonight. In the book of Mark that we had read to us this morning, these two men are referred to as thieves. You may be sitting there saying, well, I'm not so bad. These two men were dying on crosses because they stole. They broke the law and they got caught. I want to spend just a minute speaking to our hearts tonight. This is just one example of sin. And these men got caught, so they got hung. Now, how is it with us? Before a God who looks down upon us, who made us, who knows how to make a body, a solar system, the water system, the crops. A God like that looks down and he sees into each one of our lives. What does he see in your life? What does he see? Does he see that one time you stole? Those thieves were dying on one side and the other of Jesus that day because they got caught by the authorities. But God knows about everything. In our whole life, he does. You want to know about it? Read in this book. The only book that claims to be the Word of God. He knows every sin. Who was there at the cross? Who was there? The people stood beholding, verse 35. The rulers also with them derided him. The soldiers, verse 36. And tonight you are at the cross. You are at the cross. I heard it said once that in order to go to hell, a person has to walk right around the cross of Jesus, because God is so good. And tonight you have an opportunity to see the cross. You're beholding a man, a perfect man, who was hung on a cross for you. Does that mean anything to you? Perhaps you say, this is new. This is interesting. I want to know more. That's great. There's plenty of people here that will stay here all night to go through the Word of God until you're sure of where you're going to be when you leave this world. I'm one of them. I'll be glad to stay as long as you want me to, because it's that important where you go when you leave this world. We can't stay here forever. We've all sinned. My sins are gone, paid for by the blood of Jesus. God looks at Paul's house and he says, Paul accepted my son as his Savior. I'll take him to my home on that basis and that alone. Not because I'm good. I'm not good. I told you at the beginning. There were two men who were there that day. One hanging on this side of Jesus and one hanging over there. Why were they on opposite sides of Jesus? I'm not sure. But I've thought about it this way. You know, the people that hated Jesus for no reason, that didn't like him because he made them look bad, made them stand out as sinners because he was perfect. No doubt they decided that if they put Jesus in the middle of two thieves, and everybody knew they were thieves, then Jesus must be really bad. But you know those two men? It tells us in another account that they both said terrible things to Jesus. Have you said terrible things about Jesus? Have you used his word as a curse? His name, I should say, as a curse? Have you? He's willing to forgive you tonight. What do we read about him saying when he was on the cross here? He says, Father, forgive them. I'm so glad he said that. That's why I'm here tonight, because I'm forgiven. It's not because I'm good, because I'm a sinner, and I've been forgiven by Jesus, because he died for me. So I have the privilege to tell you. You know, somebody told me. Now I can tell you. And then you can tell somebody else. You know, may this meeting tonight be encouragement for each one of us that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ to tell other people what we've got so freely given ourselves. The Lord put me in a Christian home so that I'd get saved. I love him for that. I love him for dying for me. I love to tell other people. You want to be happy as Christians? Tell other people what we have. It's great. It's the best thing. There's no better thing in all the world to tell someone about. So these two men are having this discussion. And one of them realized who Jesus was. He watched how people made fun of him. The rulers said, we don't want him. The soldiers mocked him. He'd been punched all night and beat up, and they took vinegar and they put it on his lips. Imagine what that would be like, acid on a cut. They hated him too. Now these two men have a talk. You know, one of the thieves, he just wanted to get down so he could go and be a thief again. But one of the thieves, he didn't talk about getting down. But he realized who Jesus was. Tonight, do you love Jesus? This thief did. He realized that the man who was dying on the center cross between him and the other thief was the Son of God. And he said, Lord! He called out to him when he was dying. Now let me ask you something. What could this thief do for himself? Could he get down and do a whole bunch of good stuff? To earn his way in favor before God? No. He was hanging, dying. In a few hours, he was going to have his legs broken so that he couldn't push up on his feet to breathe. The only thing he could do was he could turn and call and say, Lord! Tonight, that is all I did. And I tell you, on the authority of God's Word, that's all you can do too. Call upon Him. What was the answer? Jesus said unto him, Truly or verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We're almost out of time. I spoke about some of the older folks that I visit from week to week. And I think I mentioned this here last year, but I'm going to mention it again. We plan for everything in life. We do. We go to school. We go to take more courses and plan for a job. Plan for a career. And you know, as we get a little bit older and a little bit of white hair, you start to plan about retirement. We do. Do you know many people never plan to leave this world? They may plan their funeral. They may plan to where they're going to be buried and where the graveyard's going to be and which one it is and so on. But they don't plan to meet God. You know what the Bible tells us? Excuse me, the Word of God tells us? Prepare to meet thy God. Have you done that? Are you prepared? The last verse we're going to read tonight is verse 44. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Jesus had been hanging on the cross for 3 hours. We read about the next three in that verse 44. What happened in those 3 hours? It says in this account, it says there was a darkness. Why would it say that? I've pondered that many times. I think we got the answer in this conference. The book of Exodus. When God sent darkness in the land of Egypt, it was a darkness that could be felt. It could be felt. You know, there's verses in the Bible, the Word of God, that tell us that in those 3 hours of darkness, when God blotted out that scene so that no one but He could see what was happening to His Son, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was punished for my sins. Tells us who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree in those hours of darkness. Now, We're coming to the close of our meeting. How is it with you? Are you uncomfortable? Do you know that the load of sins is still all over you? You're dirty before God? I'm going to pray in a minute or two. You can too, just where you are. And you can ask God to forgive you every sin you've ever committed by accepting that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for you. And take Him as your Savior too. Yes, it's true that He is despised and rejected even today. But there are those who have come to love Him in this world, that have come to see Him as the Savior of sinners. He's the only way to have our sins forgiven. And if our sins are forgiven, then we can gain access to the home of God, to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I have a lot of friends in heaven. But the man who died for me is in heaven tonight. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Shall we pray?